This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Q&A with Layla, our weekly Intelligent Medicine podcast that answers your questions. You can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And a busy week for us because we're moving the Hoffman Center.
Yeah.
That's a big undertaking. So as we sit here outside, they're packing boxes.
Yeah.
We're at the center right now, but this may be the last hurrah for this location. We're moving to a new location near the Time Warner Building.
Yes.
On the Columbus Circle on the Upper West Side.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be able to have lunch at Whole Foods.
Right.
They have a great Whole Foods in the, it's a really a, one of the first Whole Foods, I think, in New York City.
I think so.
And yeah. It's a huge, huge place. And in future, you know, I hope that you'll have a chance to take some of our patients from our office across the street, you know, down the escalator, and right into Whole Foods and start, you know, showing them all the great, you know.
A little shopping tour, how to choose your foods, how to read your labels. Absolutely. So anybody interested in something like that, do contact me, radioprogram@AOL.com. Of course, if you're here locally in the New York area, or call our office.
Yep.
212-779-1744. Our office number will stay the same.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So we're told.
Yes.
We'll see next week.
We'll see what happens over the weekend, the cutover.
Hello, Verizon. Our phone's not working.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay.
It, you know, I've had several moves, and sometimes it's not seamless.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, hope for the best.
We'll hope for the worst.
Be prepared for the worst.
Yes. Yes. Way to be. Okay. We have an email from Sylvia. I love your podcasts and find them so informative. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you for listening. In the past, I've had short bouts of AFib. I'm on Plavix, aspirin, amiodarone. I take
amiodarone, powerful medicine for heart failure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or actually, heart arrhythmia. More
heart arrhythmia.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I take magnesium citrate for constipation. What else can I take to help the problem and avoid further episodes?
All right. Your forte.
Okay. Sylvia, AFib may have more to do with lifestyle than we think. You want to make sure that you're on a really good diet, and especially one that helps to stabilize your blood sugar, unstable blood sugar or low blood sugar.
By the way, you know, it's interesting. When you say that, it sounds like, oh, come on, she's a nutritionist, and, you know, this is what, you know, this is her perspective on atrial fibrillation. It's truly a medical disorder, and you always have to just use drugs. You're basing this comment on a commentary by a cardiologist.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Yes.
Very interesting article.
Yes, it's a two-parter on the website and in our newsletter. Yes, this is about a cardiologist who says lifestyle measures first. Mm-hmm. And it has to be, you have to eat better, you have to drink less or not drink, you have to sleep better, and you have to move, you have to exercise.
Right.
So this has everything to do. And it was
It is not to say that if you have extreme atrial fibrillation, you're very far gone, and your conduction pathways in your heart are very damaged. You know, it's like bad wiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just being on a clean diet may not fix it, but prevention of atrial fibrillation
is
a lifestyle issue.
Absolutely. And the cardiologist, Dr. John Mandrola, he even suggested that even those, yes, medication is appropriate maybe in the beginning to get them stabilized. But then as the lifestyle measures change, get better, all of that, then the conversation has to happen between patient and doctor about getting off those meds. It doesn't mean that you should have to take them forever. There's a possibility. So, Sylvia, you want to eat whole, natural, unprocessed food. You want to have regular meal times. You don't want to let your blood sugar dip too low. Be careful with alcohol. One drink is a hypoglycemic. That's why it's good for diabetics to help lower a very high blood sugar. But beyond that, forget it. And it's been hypothesized that we're seeing more AFib as the population gets older because they're retired and they're going to happy hour more often. So that might be something that's happening. So Sylvie, if that's you, stop or tone it back. I would also think magnesium taurate and CoQ10 would be helpful here.
Sure.
Besides the medication she's taking.
Right. However, I mean, when she's on all these medications, I wonder how she means, maybe this is pretty serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, amiodarone is not my favorite drug. It's just got a lot of side effects.
And it's a heart failure.
It's a
drug
it,
more than.
No. It's for rhythm control. It's for arrhythmias, but it's more for ventricular arrhythmias, not atrial arrhythmias. So I'm quite understanding why she's on amiodarone.
Huh. Okay. Sylvia, that's a question for your doctor.
Right.
Obviously. Okay, but...
You know, inevitably, yeah. If we were to see a patient like that, we would drill down, we'd get more information,
See
what's going on, maybe measure magnesium levels, assess the diet.
Yeah, measure magnesium levels.
You know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what's also antiarrhythmic is fish oil, it turns out.
Yes.
Fish oil has some antiarrhythmic effects. So, could be helpful. Okay, what about coffee?
Coffee can set off AFib.
But
there's another mechanism in coffee that doesn't and may tone it down. I'm trying to think.
The recent study actually poo-pooed that notion that coffee was a trigger for atrial. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think if you know, on a morning where you're super stressed and you're gulping down the coffee and maybe you're rushing, you know, to the subway or something, that could be your first episode of atrial fibrillation.
Right.
You know,
right.
I just it's so counterintuitive. I think that someone with atrial fibrillation should probably go easy on coffee.
Yeah. And I think it also depends on your genetic makeup. If you're a fast metabolizer of caffeine, which is desirable, as opposed to a slow metabolizer.
Break it down quickly, otherwise it accumulates.
Right.
And then it can be hypercaffeinated.
Right.
By the way, this happened this week.
Hmm.
A young boy died, and I think what he did was he had a caffeinated drink, and he had one of those, monster type beverages.
Yeah.
And he had like three different, and a soda. So caffeinated.
Yeah.
And wasn't that inordinate? It wasn't like it didn't sound like he had like mega doses. He just had three different sources of caffeine, died of, cardiac arrhythmia.
Oh my goodness.
A young boy. Now, we don't know, was he prone? Did he have some,
underlying
susceptibility? But, that was made for quite the headline this week.
Wow.
I think it was 15.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Maybe an electrolyte imbalance as well could have played there.
Yeah, this could happen to gamers. You know, some of these kids are dedicated
Xbox
gamers that they sit in a sit, it's like an endurance event, and the only way that they can stay alert and awake is they just guzzle these
monster drinks and Red Bulls.
Red Bull, right.
Yeah. Another thing I have to say about caffeine and coffee is I've mentioned to many patients at this point who have high blood pressure but who are avid users of high test coffee, caffeinated coffee. And I tell them, when you go fasting to your doctor, it doesn't mean you're allowed to have that cup of coffee, because then they're going to measure your blood pressure and find it to be high. Mm. Well, we found at least on two occasions. I told them, don't have anything.
Right.
Just go in.
Right.
There was no high blood pressure. So it is playing a role, I think, for many people. But my first advice...
But they felt so lousy that they couldn't even listen.
Yeah. They were dragging. They were dragging into the office.
Our first visit, we generally tell patients to have to eat and have whatever caffeine they have, because we'd rather have a good conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing like...
We want you alert.
Yeah, it's nothing like having somebody come in and say, I didn't have my three cups of coffee. I didn't eat anything. Mm. It's like 11:30. I got up at 4 in the morning to get to the office
because I'm coming
from Westchester or Long Island,
That's already a half day fast.
And they're brain dead by the time they come here, so...
Yeah.
We don't want that.
No,
If we need a fasting blood test, we'll send them to a place in their community where they can have that.
Yeah. So, Sylvia, thank you for your question. Okay. And that's a consult.
Yeah.
All right. It's really more detail. A consult. Okay. We have.
Oh, let's do this.
Yes.
Let's give some acknowledgement to one of our great sponsors. Let's hear this brief message, and then we'll be right back.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors, because our sponsors make it possible for us to provide you with all this great information. They underwrite this program and make it possible for us to share free information with you.
Okay, we have an email from Gary. Hi, longtime listener and appreciator of all you share with the general public. I am 73 and having knee replacement surgery in July. I am using your hip fracture nutritional support program for my recovery support template.
Great.
Given that this list is old and some of the supplements listed are no longer available, are there new products you're a proponent of?
Okay. Well, we should update that.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's a good idea to put up on FullScript.
Yeah.
For that.
We could one of the things on FullScript is we can create templates for conditions. So let's make a note of doing it. But let's talk out loud about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of the things that can help? And you know, why, you know, he's having knee replacement
in July.
And why would it be analogous to a broken leg?
Hmm.
Well, basically it's trauma.
Yeah.
And trauma is trauma, whether it's surgically inflicted or whether it's accidental.
Mm-hmm.
And however, there's much more mayhem when it's accidental, and it's very careful and controlled when it's surgical.
Right.
But you still want healing. You want rapid healing.
Mm-hmm.
So among the things that are helpful, certainly we want adequate zinc. We want adequate vitamin C. Do we want a ton of fish oil before the surgery? Probably not, because it could probably somewhat increase bleeding rate. So maybe we don't want to do a lot of that right at the time of surgery.
Yeah.
But as soon as the sutures heal, we can give fish oil because it's anti-inflammatory and good.
Mm-hmm.
We may also want to give proteolytic enzymes. So my favorite these days is Wobe enzyme.
Mm-hmm.
One of the products that we used, I can look it up.
Yeah.
You keep talking.
I know what's typically been recommended after surgery by surgeons in the know is bromelain, which is the enzyme from pineapple. Proteolytic enzyme, which is very, very helpful for reducing scar tissue, preventing adhesions. Wobe enzyme has been studied, I believe, for a couple of decades now. A lot in Germany has been very proven to reduce inflammation.
Hey, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we can create a template, or maybe we could even create a subcategory, because we have conditions on FullScript. And, you know, not that I want people to willy-nilly take supplements, but it sort of points them in the right direction, and
like
it's nice to get a protocol.
Post-surgical healing, yeah.
So I'm looking for the. It'll take me a second to find the product name. Go ahead.
So taking these proteolytic enzymes like Wobe enzyme is helpful. Gary, to give you a dose really on any of these enzymes, you want to take 9 a day. 3, 3, and 3, and you want to take
away
them
from food.
Far away from food, because if you take them anywhere near a meal, it will digest your food and not the inflammation. So this is very important.
So, yeah. I recently had a patient who underwent surgery. It was a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had her take a lot of proteolytic enzymes. And the one product that we had for her was called Inflammatone. Now, that's an old product. That's one of the products that I took 10 years ago. It's now the 10th anniversary of my hip fracture. And it contains proteolytic enzymes and turmeric and boswellia, which is great, and ginger.
Wow.
And quercetin and rutin and, you know, some resveratrol. And it's a really nice anti-inflammatory and proteolytic enzyme combo. I might suggest that you take two three times daily away from foods, possibly in lieu of the
wobenzyme,
mm-hmm. you know, because it has the additional benefit of turmeric and ginger, which is anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So Wonderful. I also took intravenous vitamin C every day for about 20 days after the accident.
Very important for healing and
but,
for immunity.
You know, if that's not available, you know, you know, push oral C because C is responsible for collagen repair.
Yes.
Can you think off the top of your head what else?
Zinc, definitely. I don't know if you made mention that, of that before. Zinc, definitely.
Is repair.
You need magnesium, Gary, because it wipes any trauma, like surgery, wipes out
Absolutely.
Magnesium.
Yes.
You know, I remember you telling me that you had low magnesium levels after your surgery, and you were telling the doctors that you were low, and lo and behold, they came at you a day later and said, hey, Dr. Hoffman, your
Come
magnesium
to think of it,
is low.
Your magnesium is low. I said, why couldn't you have just given me magnesium?
Exactly.
I was in a trauma
right.
ward, you know.
Right.
And anytime you're in shock, whether it's from trauma or just the surgery itself, you go a little low in magnesium.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking carnitine may be helpful. I'm thinking
usually not a lot of antibiotics are given. So, but in a surgery that requires antibiotics, you might want to be taking probiotics.
Yes, and when you take antibiotics, you want to take the probiotics at least 2 hours apart from the antibiotics, so they don't fight.
Right.
So the antibiotic doesn't wipe out the probiotic, or if it does, you have the opportunity to replenish by taking that probiotic
so
later.
So there's sort of an update, I think, on that.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, we wish you the best of luck this July with your knee replacement.
It's going to be great. You know, a lot of people are they're so reluctant to have, you know, joint replacement.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to do it prematurely is not a good idea because, you know, say if you do it at 50, you know, you might live to 90. And 40 years is a long time for a mechanical joint. And therefore, you want to wait.
Yeah.
However, you know, in 20 or 30 years, they'll have better replacements because people are having this surgery earlier and earlier. You know, baby boomers and Gen Xers are having joint replacement at pretty young ages, middle age, and it's likely that they may need a second one.
Yeah.
Now it's a little iffy when you have a second one. Therefore, you may want to wait. But you get a whole new lease on life. It's like, you know,
you're bionic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like oh, I don't know about
I mean,
that,
if you look at people in the third world, you know, look at quote older people. They're all limping and hobbling, and that's a mark of old age. And one of the things that we have at our disposal now is technology that enables us to be really active. You know, I was in Europe and I met a relative of mine because it was a bunch of you know related people coming to this wedding, and she decided to come over. She's late 60s, maybe pushing 70. And she had both knees replaced.
Wow.
And believe you me, in Belgium, it's all cobblestones. And she walked all over the place and turned over the place. She did great.
Wow.
But 2 years ago, that would not have been possible. I remember walking in New York with her, and I wanted to walk a little bit, and she was just dragging. And she did really well. The other thing she did, sensibly, is around that, a little bit with my influence, she got a really good diet and lost about 20 pounds. So there's a lot less stress on those new joints.
Yes.
So it was kind of, it was a teachable moment. It
Absolutely.
Was like, you know, it's like,
sure.
I'm carrying extra weight. I want this to work. She did the rehab. She cleaned up her act. I mean, she did a whole, not just the surgical part, she did a whole lifestyle change.
And Wonderful.
Man, walking all over cobblestone streets where people, you know, it's crippling for a lot of tourists.
It is. Wow. And it's important to maintain a healthy weight because that's the first stress on your joints.
Yeah.
Especially hips, knees, ankles.
And it's pro-inflammatory.
It's pro-inflammatory.
It's not just the gravity. The gravity is one thing of carrying extra pounds and putting pressure, but it's also the inflammation that toxic fat causes. It's like an endocrine organ that secretes cytokines and pro-inflammatory humors throughout the body.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, best of luck to you this July. Okay. And let us know how it went.
Yeah. And let's take one more question.
Okay. Got one from Robert. My wife has recently experienced eye floaters. She had her eyes examined and no issues were found. However, nothing was prescribed to help rid her of these annoying things. Can you suggest something? Is there a supplement?
I don't know. I mean, I think that...
I think once you have floaters, you have floaters.
Yeah, I mean, floaters have to be checked out because they could be a sign of detached retina.
Yeah.
I have read somewhere that bioflavonoids might be helpful, so that you might try some rutin, hesperidin, or pycnogenol.
Hmm. Okay.
But I...
Wow.
You know, unless, or possibly check out the website of Dr. Robert Abel, iAdvisory.com. He may have some advice about floaters because he's an integrative eye doctor we've interviewed several times. And he has some insights into what nutrients help certain eye conditions. I think macular degeneration is very amenable to supplementation, possibly glaucoma, cataracts a little less so. It's hard to reverse cataracts once you have them.
Right.
But floaters, I'm not sure.
Right. Oh, Robert. Okay, well, it's good news that there's nothing of issue.
Well, when you get them checked out and, you know, just make sure it's not the sign of a imminent retinal detachment.
Right, right. Best of luck to your wife, Robert.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today. And I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you for the kind comments and great questions. Keep them coming. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And after our move, things settle down. We'll have even more time to do more of this stuff, get the word out to our listeners. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.